Today, our readings are all filled with joy over what God has done. Joy over the salvation that God has brought about. We see this in our reading from Jeremiah, where people are invited to break forth into songs of joy because God is bringing them back from exile. We see this in our reading from Ephesians, as we hear about the salvation that God offers that makes us God's own children, adopts us as God's own. And we hear that this plan has been around since the foundation of the world. This is what God desired to do, to redeem and restore all of the world. We hear in our gospel reading about this Word through whom all things came into existence, taking on flesh, living among us. This Word who brought in light and life and gives power to become children of God, echoing what we heard in Ephesians. All of this is truly wonderful news. The only challenge we have today is that we humans tend to miss it. We don't always recognize what God is up to. We don't always see the good things God is doing. And even when we become aware of God's inbreaking presence, for many of us, this is a fleeting experience. We don't allow this presence, this power, this awesomeness of who God truly is and what God has done for us in Christ to penetrate our thoughts and our souls. An example of this can be seen if you just go outside and take a walk down the street. In the town square, Christmas decorations are put away. No more lights. No more music playing festive Christmas songs. You can turn the radio on and find this same phenomenon. Indeed, for most of the stores now, it's already Valentine's Day. And we see how we humans are just willing to move past whatever occasion we have to celebrate on to the next one. The new year has arrived. Christmas celebrations are over. The family has gone back home. The regular rhythms of work and school and our everyday lives can return to normal. And all of this is a hint at what I'm saying, that we tend to ignore, not fully realize what God is up to in our midst, that God is still doing things. And indeed, all of the celebrations we had just 11 days ago are still in full effect. There is still good news of great joy for what God has done. Here, it is still Christmas. The decorations are still up, at least until we de-decorate after service today in preparation for Epiphany. But we are reminded that this good news that God has brought about in offering salvation to us all through Christ, the good news of God being with us, of coming and entering into this world alongside us, is still true. The good news that the shepherds heard 11 days ago and that we had with expectation and ran with them to that manger is still true. Christ has still come. Our Savior has still arrived. Emmanuel, God, is still with us. Challenges. We don't always know how to sit with that truth. It's hard for us to sit for 12 days in that truth. We have to move on. We've already done the celebrating thing. We're ready for the next thing. And I think that's exactly why these texts are appointed for the second Sunday of Christmas. There is a realization by those who are putting together the lectionary, I think, that we humans are quick to move past events. All right, we can celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, maybe for one Sunday of Christmas, but two, nah, we gotta keep going. And so these texts are always the second Sunday of Christmas, by the way, no matter what year we find ourselves in, A, B, or C, and whether we're working through the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, we will hear these texts appointed for today on the second Sunday of Christmas. Because we also don't always even get a second Sunday of Christmas. So when we do, we are to be assured that we will remember that God has done great and amazing things for us, that God has wanted to do great and amazing things for us since the beginning of time, and in the fullness of time has sent God's own Son to make this good news known to us of our salvation. And we know, of course, that God has been in the salvation business from the very beginning. We could go back to Noah and how God saves Noah by telling him to build the ark. We could go back to Abraham and the promise made to him and to his descendants. We could go back to the whole Exodus from Egypt story and how God liberated the people from oppression. We could go back to the wilderness story when God was with them and led them in the wilderness, offering them salvation time and time again. We could go back to when God brings them into the land and establishes them as a people. We could go back to when God established a king and said that there would be a temple where God would dwell with the people. But today we start our stories at the return from exile, this promise made to those about to experience the horrors and pains of exile. They hear this good news from Jeremiah. They can sing and shout for joy, for God will bring them back. And we hear in this process, God's salvation is comprehensive and complete. The blind and the lame will come back. The people will be led along brooks of water. No longer will they have to strike rocks when they get thirsty, wondering if that might give them water. No, they will have an abundance as they journey back home. They're led on a straight path, no wandering for 40 years this time, no directly back home they go. And yes, this path is so well taken care of, God is so ready to meet the people's needs that even those who are pregnant or in labor are able to make this trip. Shocking indeed. And yet, this is how complete God's salvation is for God's people. So complete that even the surrounding nations must recognize it. They too are to shout and sing for joy for what God has done for God's people. They too are to recognize God is up to something in this world, and only God being at work could bring about this restoration. We are invited to recognize the same truth as we hear our reading from Ephesians, that God has worked in comprehensive and complete ways to offer salvation to all of the earth. That God has worked in Christ to speak life into existence for those who were dead, to adopt us as members of God's own family. In short, to lead us back out of our exile of sin and death into the heavenly and eternal abode of life with God. And Christ gives everything to make this path smooth, to give us access to the abundant waters of baptism and our journey, that we may know we can dwell with God. As amazing as this sounds, if we were ever to doubt it, we are also given a gift, a sign of this presence in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit to abide with us, to abide in us. The Holy Spirit is a sign and a seal of this inheritance Christ has won for us, this inheritance of life with God forever. So even when we doubt what God has done for us, we still have the Holy Spirit sealing us, telling us, no, you truly are God's beloved child, holy and precious in God's sight. And we who have experienced this, who know the ways in which Christ's blood has forgiven us of our sins, knowing the ways in which we are now named and claimed as God's own, holy and beloved, we are called to be like John and bear witness to this good news, to testify to the light and this light of God that has worked life for us and all of the world. We know we are not the light, but we bear witness to the light. And we are called to celebrate and share this good news with those around us, called to tell folks about what the good news it is to encounter the salvation God has for us, to know the forgiveness of our sins, to know the ways in which God has named us and claimed us as God's own. In short, we are to tell them about how we have experienced God's power and presence in our lives, which is something we get to do again this day. Here, in this meal that we will share, Christ comes to us in this bread and wine, body and blood, and we discover that we have one more Christmas feast to go to, one where Christ will welcome us in and gather us with the whole family of God at the table, one where we'll be strengthened and nourished in our faith, strengthened and nourished to proclaim what God has done for us. Here, at this table, we encounter the good news, again, that our sins are forgiven. We know in this feast of love that God offers to us that we are held as God's own, and we are sent out to celebrate and share this good news with others, that all may know they are welcome here at this table, where they can hear the same good news. They are holy and beloved, fellow children of God, for this good news of God's grace, mercy, and love, for this gift that Christ keeps sharing with us, not just 12 days of the year, but for all eternity. We can only say in response for such a gift, thanks be to God. Amen.